Shoes. Recorded live.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night conference call. I'm going to try to cover a few things tonight. I know I've got a lot of questions concerning enforcement, so I want to talk a little bit about enforcement and how we intend to have enforcement. Also, you know, this is a lot of new stuff to a lot of people, and some of it may sound complex. We're talking about a lot of things really that are new to everybody, so it takes a little while to before you kind of get used to the lingo and used to what's going on and what needs to be done. We're also pushing a lot of some advanced stuff, and not everybody really needs to know the advanced stuff. We should all try to strive towards that, but a few people in every county will start to pick up on this, on the more advanced part of it, and they'll be the people that will kind of really keep things going and organized and the process moving and teaching everybody as we go along. That'll just happen on its own. People will emerge. Also, time invested. You know, I've been looking at this and talking with a lot of people. Some people feel that they don't have the time, but everybody's got to find the time. And we're not asking for a lot of time. I've come to realize that really what we want to build are jury pools. And 25 people per county may be what we're kind of shooting for to get things going. Really, we want hundreds of people, thousands of people per county. We really want to eventually get this word out and get as many people into the system as possible. And the jury pool that we're building is not just going to be a grand jury pool. It's going to be a regular jury pool for the trial jury, because we have to work that part of the process out too. We can't allow the state jury pools to continue, because they're totally controlled by the judge and the prosecutor. So we the people have got to step up. And if people realize, even if you only put in one day a year or 2 days a year, you know, you'll get the phone call. If you can do it, you do it. If you can't, well, we'll recycle your name. Eventually, you'll be able to do some time, and maybe it'll be a trial, and, you'll be asked for 3 days or a day or two. I think most trials are really a day anyway. And if it's a grand jury, you know, you might be asked just for 1 day. We will have to find, and we will find, people will emerge, the leaders within the county. We'll probably need maybe a half a dozen people that really put a lot of time into this, maybe retired people or people that kind of work for themselves and are able to put in a lot of time, sort of semi-retired or whatever it is we have to do. But we just have to do it. We also will need some advisors to advise the juries under certain situations and things, for legal questions, or maybe have to draw up a particular paper and they need a little advice on how to, draw it up. There's a few of us here in New York. I'm sure we'll find other people throughout the country. And as time goes on, again, those people will emerge. They'll become self-educated like we did. Everybody that I know that's in the system is self-educated. And we are putting everything together in one place so that people can become educated. If anybody wants to become educated, right now all they have to do is go out to newyorkcommitteemen.org, click on judicial process on the left-hand side of the page, and when that page opens up, you'll see a bunch of tabs on the top of the page from judicial process. Click on common law. So common law is a page where you can learn all about common law. We have about four lectures there. But this is also found on the jury page. I would suggest people really click on the jury page and get it from there, because there may be a few extra videos or something there. Also, if you don't know court procedure and you want to learn court procedure, just click on court access on this page. And we've written a book on how to access the courts, how to work out the paperwork, fill out the forms, what forms are needed. And so we've put a lot of things together on this website that you should have everything you need in order to go forward in a courtroom if you wanted to practice common law in a courtroom, or if you just want to get the knowledge so you can advise and work with the grand juries. Some people will take this full speed, maybe just a handful in a county here or there. And most people really just need to have the mindset. You know, again, those who are just becoming a jury, either for the grand jury or for the trial jury. The mindset is really the important thing and what most people will have. And you'll get that just by listening to the audio on that jury page. Just listen to it once, twice if you can. It's about probably about 50 hours of video of audio. But, you know, they're MP3s. You listen to them while you're doing things. Maybe if you're working out or just sitting in the backyard or whatever the case may be, or driving, you can throw something on your MP3 player and just listen to them. Again, it's just getting familiar. But I'll tell you, the workshop we put together, and we're still putting it together, you know, we're always changing things and trying to give it the best stuff we can so people will really be prepared. Well, this workshop we're putting together, everything that's going to be given at this workshop will be available after the workshop. So we'll have a page. It'll be a private page. Anybody who goes to the workshop, they'll get access to that private page, and they will get everything that we do at the workshop. They will be able to get everything right there. You won't even have to do notes at the workshop. Just listen and follow along. We've even done the notes, and we'll have the notes available there. And whatever audio you hear, whatever PowerPoints you watch, whatever video we might play, you know, all of that information will be on that page, and you'll be able to take the whole course all over again at any time at will. The process we're going to use and show on how to create the grand jury in your county, you know, everything will be there. But this course is really important. It's an extremely important course, I believe, and it's mostly for the mindset. Most people may not retain most of this stuff, but again, you can always go back and pick up the areas that you want to work on. Some people will excel at this because they are just totally, gripped by it, and they want to understand it, and they really want to do what they have to do to get this country back, and they might want to work to advise people and learn the common law part of this thing. Let's see. So time investment, organizing. We're going to do here in New York, we've been back and forth on looking at this. Ultimately, we're looking to have counties kind of work their own organizations. But what we're going to do is we're going to create a statewide pool. I think that's the best thing. And every foreman, you might need 2, 3, 4 foremen per county. Again, those people will surface. Because, you know, there'll always need to be a jury, you know, a foreman, and there'll always need to be a secretary. Those two particular individuals really are the core part of what we're putting together. They're the ones that need to have the knowledge. They're the ones that need to be able to put most of the time into it. So again, those people will surface as time goes on. But those people will have access to the search, well, not the search engine, what do they call it, a database that'll have all the people throughout the state. And all they have to do is download the database and just do a key search through their county, and they'll find all the people in their county so that they can call upon these people and work things out. In counties where we're a little short, we'll borrow from counties next door until we get more people in. We have kind of a unique way we're going to be running the election, and we're going to advertise for this, and it's free advertisement because it's a public service, so the newspapers will run everything for free, and we'll post everything, you know, in the town halls or on the bulletin boards. And so, we'll try to get as many people to the election as possible. And the election, of course, is not to elect the grand jury itself. This is not a political position. The election is for the desire of the people of the county to reinstate a common law grand jury in their county. That's what the election is for. And we put some really good stuff together on that. That'll educate people. We kept it kind of short, and then people who want more, they'll be able to get more information. But at that election, we should ask everyone that comes to that election that they should sign up to become people on the jury, become part of the pool. And again, you know, if you can only do one day a year, so be it. if you could do more, whatever it is. But the people have got to step up. They have to take control of their own business and not stop depending on their government. The people have to run the process. And if they're not interested in doing it, then we can't have freedom, because we'll just get what we have right now. And that is just a bunch of criminals taking advantage of us, destroying our country, our liberty, and our future, and our posterity. One other thing, I can tell you from firsthand information, I can't tell you who's who and what's what, and I can't get specifics, but I want to tell you, keep an eye open for infiltrators and misinformation. You're going to find a lot of it. I'm not going to argue with anyone. We've done our homework and everything we're doing, and we're really focused to get the job done and to give this to the people. You know, there's no one here to try to become some kind of a great leader and to capture people and bring them in this direction or that direction. All we're trying to do is empower the people in their own counties and their own states, and then it's up to them to do the business of the people. But I will tell you that there are a lot of infiltrators out there and a lot of people with misinformation. And so when that misinformation maybe comes into this room, I'm just going to make the correction and move on. Sometimes people invest too much time in an error, and they're not willing to give up the error of their way. They continue to build upon a mistake. We're not interested in doing that. And it doesn't matter how much time we invest in any kind of an idea we have. Once we find out that we're in error or false in what we're thinking, we will make the change. But of course, we have to be convinced. We're not going to follow people blindly because they say this is the way you need to do things. So again, just keep your heads up for that. Misinformation, if it gets too difficult and too complex and you have to go through, you know, too many exercises to become free, well, there's a problem with that. Freedom is simple. It's a state of mind and claiming it. You think it, you act it, and now you're free. It's that simple. It doesn't get any more complex than that. Okay, enforcement. Let me just talk a little bit about enforcement, and then we'll open the line up. A lot of people are concerned about enforcement. They don't understand the common law process. That's the problem. There have been common law grand juries in various places. Some have failed. They've done some federal ones. There was one federal one, I don't remember where it was and who was involved in it, but I just know a little bit of the story, or just remember a little bit of the story. And some federal judge got in the way and stopped the whole process, and they didn't know what to do. Well, the problem wasn't the judge. The problem was that they didn't know what to do. And it's not their fault that they didn't know what to do. But again, we are in a very unique situation where we have been working on all the necessary prerequisitional requirements, unbeknownst to ourselves, we didn't realize this, that would be necessary to do this grand jury thing. We know the process. Nobody can stop the common law grand jury. You know, you would think automatically, well, the judge would stop it. You know, you file in your county and there's the Supreme Court judge and he's just not going to have this. Well, no, that's not possible because he has no authority. He simply has no authority. This is a process thing. You process the right paper, you do the right things, and you put it forward into the county clerk and into the court clerk, and they are to file it, and there is a process that takes place. There is nobody, no sort of traffic cop there, the judicial traffic cops stopping and going, you can do that, you can't do that. No, there's no one there to say anything of that nature. It is a process, and that's all it is to it. The judge sticks his foot in the door, we cut his toes off. That's it. It's that simple, because he doesn't belong there. He doesn't have the authority. And once he understands that he doesn't have authority, and if you have to, you threaten him with U.S. codes, 18 and 42, and when he realizes, he'll back off. And I think in this situation, he'll be pretty conscious before he sticks his toes into the door on this one. He'll read the paperwork, I think. So the judge isn't going to stop this, and if he does, there's quite a few things we could do, and we would do that from the legal sense. In other words, myself or a few other people that are involved that are able to deal with this, we'll deal with it no matter where it's at. And if it's in another state, we'll assist those people with what to do and how we go about dealing with this problem. The other thing is people are concerned, well, how do you get the sheriff to comply? Well, the sheriff doesn't know anything, and he doesn't know any better. He's got to always go to the prosecutor or to the judge or to some lawyer somewhere to figure out what it is he could do or what he can't do, because he doesn't know. He's as lazy as the rest of us, and he needs to wake up and start thinking for himself, just like we have to do the same thing, and that's why we're going to create a little booklet. But the bottom line is this, is when we call that the sheriff up in the first week doing what we're doing, well, he's going to come visit us where? He's going to come to the courthouse. He's going to walk through the courthouse. He's going to look for the jury room. He's going to walk into the door, and he's going to see a group of people. And guess what? As far as he's concerned, that's the grand jury. He can never question it. Why would he even question it? But the other thing is that we don't direct the sheriff directly anyway. We don't tell the sheriff to do anything. We have a process. The process is you file, you summons people. If you do an investigation and you decide to look deeper into it, you know, by the whole jury, the grand jury, well, you summons people to question it. And they either come or they don't. And if they don't come, well, you file the paper with the court clerk, not with the judge. The judge has nothing to do with this. It's a process. So the judge clerk files this, takes this paper, he puts it through the file and puts it into the process. Now he looks for the next judge that's in line to be able to sign this paper. He doesn't have any, he can't decide to not sign the paper. It's his job. He's got to sign the paper. Okay? So he signs the paper because we summons, they didn't come, now the court's got a summons. Now, if they don't answer the court summons, then they'll be in contempt of court, and then it is the judge or the court that sends the sheriff out to collect the individual to bring him in for questioning. So that's how it works. It's all a process. There is no individual you have to get permission from. There's nobody you got to talk to, nobody you got to work it out with. You do the paperwork, you file it, and you cut the fingers off or the toes off of anybody who tries to get in the way. It's that simple. And there are lots of ways to do that. And everything we'll be doing through courts of record. Also, bear in mind, if you have other grand juries that are surrounding that particular county, and we reach out to that grand jury, then they'll indict that judge and bring him in because he's stepping in the way of a grand jury and preventing it from going forward in his county. He doesn't have the authority. And there's absolutely no one else that will get in our way. The prosecutor won't do it. There's no lawyer I can think of. The attorney general won't do it. The sheriff doesn't know anything. The only one left is the judge, and he's just not going to do it. Again, if that federal judge, if I was in that process and that federal judge got in the way, I think he would have moved over once we served a few papers on him and let him know what he's going to be facing. If he doesn't back off, I think he would back off. But some people also, some grand juries have gotten together. They're taking too big a piece of the pie too quickly. You can't form a grand jury here or there and then go after the President of the United States. That's insane. You can't form a jury in any state and think you're going to go after the governor or the legislators. It's just not going to happen. You have to take home first. You have to bring order in your own home. That's your county. And once you get your county seat in order, and if everyone else is doing the same thing, and in the case of New York, you've got 62 county seats in order. Well, now you just take them back to state. Now you can go deal with the governor. Now you can go deal with the legislators of your state. And once we have 26 states that have done this and have taken control of their states, now we're going to go deal with Washington. Now we can go deal with the president or any of the problems that's going on out there. But until then, it's insane to think that a grand jury of a few dozen or even a few hundred people in one little given area that has not organized to take their whole state back to think that they can do anything. They're not going to get it done. It's not going to be accomplished. But I will tell you that if the grand jury writes a paper and tells the, for instance, the legislators, in our case in New York, we have 150 assemblymen and 63 senators. If we were to write a paper to those senators and those and that assembly to list out the things that they need to do to bring themselves back in order and back in the box, the constitutional box, And when you write that paper up and deliver it to every one of those individuals, and you got 62 counties and 62 county seals, grand jury seals, and 62 signatures, and it gets delivered to every one of these people, I think they're going to take it very serious. I think they're going to realize there's nothing that they can do but obey. And if they don't, well, then we'll have to take the whole assembly out, won't we? Or we'll have to take the whole Senate out. You know, the grand jury, and I don't know this part of the process yet, but I know Bill Thornton spoke about this, and next time I get a chance to talk with him, I'm going to ask him what he knows about this process. But the grand jury can remove people from office, and that's an interesting thing. So someone that's a real problem, and that would be only in your state, of course. You can't remove someone, you know, you can't remove the president. That's too big. But anybody in your state, if there is a problem and you have good grounds and the grand jury has good grounds, they can remove them from office. But again, I don't know that process. I just heard about it, and I'm going to look into it. So anyway, enforcement is not a problem. The problem is getting people involved. That's the problem. We have a workshop starting this week. Anybody that hasn't signed up should sign up. Make phone calls to other people. Get people signed up. We've opened up to the entire country, so any state, anybody from any state can come in and sign up. Go out to the website, click on register for the workshop, and choose a day. You know, we're doing this weekend. It's going to be 8 hours this weekend. We're going to do 4 hours on Saturday and 4 hours on Sunday. And it'll be from 10 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. Now, the following weekend, we're going to repeat the very same workshop, but we're going to make it a little later to help those on the West Coast. So we'll start that one at noontime to 4 o'clock on Saturday and noon to 4 on Sunday. And we'll cover the very same materials. But in order to go to this, you have to go out there and register. Everyone should get out there now and register. Call up everyone you can think of that might be interested in this. Have them register. Have them call people. Invite anyone. If they have any interest, get them to the front page of our website. Have them watch the video on our front page, you know, the Common Law Grand Jury. It's a 45-minute, PowerPoint presentation on video. And it should be enough to entice the individuals and explain enough about what we're doing to get them interested. But get people out to watch that video. Get people to register for these workshops. And again, this entire workshop will be downloadable after the workshop is completed. We will create a private page. And then as we gather new people in, we'll create another an automated type of workshop thing for these people where they maybe 5 or 6 hours, but they could do it at their pleasure whenever they want to do it. But they need to view this information, and then they can come to like a Monday evening conversation like this to ask questions if they have any questions, or they can email us questions or just give me a call. But we have to get people with the proper mindset. They have to get, you know, introduced to what the difference is between the fiction and the law. They got to get introduced and understand the process. They got to get introduced to what liberty really is, the proper mindset. They must have these things. And that's what this workshop is going to do. And again, the nuts and bolts, you know, not everybody has to know that. Those are the people that are really involved and will actually make all this stuff work. Those people will emerge. Okay, with that, we'll open up for conversations. Click on star 8 to raise your hand, and we'll start taking questions. I see someone from Michigan has their hand up, so let me unmute Michigan. Go ahead, Michigan.
I'm sorry, that was before you started. I raised my hand then, but I guess I should start 8 to unraise my hand. Sorry about that.
Okay. Do you want to talk or anything or no?
Earlier today you mentioned that Michigan was already taken some steps.
They're in the process, yes, and they've got quite a bit going on out there, and they broke it up, I believe, in territories. We do have a website and some of the things that they're accomplishing. I just haven't had time to post it yet, but I will be posting it up on our website. I'll probably post their website on the jury page, so people who are really coming in and getting interested, it'll be something that they can click in on and go to their site and, you know, look to see what's going on out there.
That's excellent.
But we do
okay.
have a contact. Are you obviously in Michigan. You're not aware of this, I guess, right?
Well, I'm not aware of the contact. I looked on the page. There's a contact person there, an email, and I think it's a woman. I haven't emailed her yet. I've got to do that.
Okay, yeah. There's a guy named Destry, D-E-S-T-R-Y. There is a phone number out there, and they're very far advanced in what they're doing. I heard a guy, you know, one of the people who put this together in Michigan, I guess one of the speakers for the group was on a talk show or some call-in program. I think it was a talk show, and they gave a, you know, they spoke about what they were doing and how things were going, and it sounded like they really had their act together. That it sounded like they had a group of people understood what was going on and was doing the process. You know, I don't know how well things were going in the beginning, but I understand it sounds like it's going pretty good right now. And like anything else, it takes a little time to kind of, you know, orient yourself and go through that orientation and maybe even figure out some of the problems, you know.
Absolutely. But, I think one of the things I like is that all the information you have on the website, that's going to be applicable nationwide.
Absolutely. And everything we're doing, you know, I've thought of changing the name to make it more. We didn't plan to go nationwide to begin with. That was not part of our plan. We were just doing New York, and we were willing to share anything with anybody, and we kind of got drafted into this thing. So, you know, it is what it is. You just go with the flow. So here we are. We're now going nationwide, and I've been thinking about changing the name, but we got too much invested and too many things going on in here in New York because we're not just only about the grand jury. There are two powers in this country, and only two powers. And these are, well, actually there are three. You know, one of them is spiritual power, but that's between you and your maker. But in this
right.
country, there are two powers that people need to step up and take in order to control their destiny, their future, and the justice system around them. And that is judicial power and political power. And that's what we deal with at NewYorkCommittee.org. Now, everything we do at New York Committeeman, especially as far as the court system is concerned, the common law process, any kind of a process in the judicial process, the court of record, and also the grand jury and the trial jury, you know, it works anywhere. In Florida, Cal, it's the same thing. So, you know, you don't really have to change anything. Just pick up and duplicate what we're doing, and if you want to tweak it to the way you guys want to do it, you tweak it however you want to do it. But I strongly suggest that you stay with the framework of what we're laying out because we've done a lot of homework on this. And not that we're perfect, and not that we don't make mistakes, and not that we're not going to find any. But I want to tell you, we've done a lot of homework here, and we're doing it the right way. It's impeccable, and nobody's going to be able to find fault with it.
Thank you.
All right, Kenny, and if you got anything else to say, just pipe in. If you want to mute yourself, click on star 6
yeah.
and mute yourself. Kenny,
okay.
Wally, how you doing? Welcome.
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
If I complain, no one listens, so I'm doing fantastic, too.
Well, I got to say, first off, hooray for Michigan. That's home of the Constitution man. You know who he is?
Do I? No, I don't.
Oh, Carl Miller, he's awesome.
Okay.
All right, if you have an inkling of listening to him for just 10 or 20 minutes, he's on Angela's talk show, you know, that My Private Audio.
Uh-huh.
And you'll love what he has to say.
Is he one of the guys that worked things out in Michigan?
What was the question again?
Is he one of the guys, is he in Michigan, this guy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he may be the guy that I actually heard talking who really knew and understood the process and what was going on.
Oh, man, he knows it. Upside down, backwards, forwards, inside
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's probably the same guy, yeah.
Okay, yeah, gotta love him, gotta love
yep.
him.
We're going to take the audio that I heard, and I'm probably going to put it up on our line so people can listen in. And it was a pretty awesome conversation, so.
Oh, good. I'll be looking forward to hearing it. And next time we talk, I'll let you know if that was him or not.
Yeah, good idea. Right.
And I got a suggestion. I don't know if you're aware. The book, the full title is The History of American Constitutional or Common Law with Commentary Concerning Equity and Merchant Law by Dale
mm-hmm.
Pond. You're familiar with it?
No, I'm not. If you could send me an email with the information, I'd appreciate it. I'll take a look at it.
Okay, yeah. It's really good for, you know, for the people that really want to get into it. It's really excellent information. Sure, I'll send you an email on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And let me see. I really enjoyed that first grand jury thing. I've been on your website downloading stuff like a madman, and I was out running errands today, and I got my little MP3 player plugged into my ear listening to procedure and whatnot. So I'm really sucking it all up. I can't jump in with both feet on anything like becoming a committee man or getting onto the grand jury because I'm in foreclosure. But once I secured my home and I got all my ducks in a row, I can jump in on that.
Great. Well, entice anybody else you can to jump in also, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I know there's some people that, well, the fellowship just got suspended until they decide whenever they want to have the next meeting. But there's a group of doctors, and most of those people were members of the Republic. And we even had the pro tem governor of Illinois as part of the group. So it was pretty special. I felt we were pretty blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if Dr. Diane was listening in right now. And this will end up getting shared with that group. And hopefully we get some people to jump on board.
Well, amen to that. And again, just get as many people as you can to watch the video on our front page. I think it that particular PowerPoint video really, I think, sells the program reasonably well. And then get into our orientation process, which is going to be this workshop coming up. And again, if they don't make it to the live workshops, these workshops will be available online. All they have to do is register to come in, and they'll get access to the online workshop. And then for live questions and answers, they can come to these Monday night programs or some other things that we may be doing, or they could just call me or send emails, and we'll start maybe a Q&A page somewhere for this kind of thing.
Well, I think that grand jury, that webinar, the video that's still up there is really pretty powerful, because I heard some of Bill Thornton's stuff and other people talking about this, but you just hit the nail on the head as far as I was concerned. I'm talking dead, solid, perfect bullseye on what really needs to happen. And
right.
I couldn't agree with you anymore.
Yeah, we were kind of blessed to fall into this. And again, you know, we didn't plan this. Our ducks were all lined up in a row, and a grand jury, the 92 case came out that we found. You know, we discovered someone gave it to me. And I looked at it, and I shared it with a few other people. We fell off our seats, and we stayed up all night working on this thing and saying, we got to go with this. We got to lay everything else aside. This is it. This is the salvation of our nation. And people need to understand whatever they're doing, they can continue doing, but you got to do this, because this is the power. This is the real power. And this is how we take it back. And there's not much time. And I want to blow that horn again. I try to blow that every week. I want to tell you, there is no more time left. We are out of time. We are out of time. We can't afford to let anything back to get any backsliding. We got to go forward, and we got to go forward with whatever we got, and we got to do it. And people have got to realize this. They got to step up. You know what? If you don't have the time because you're too busy working, or you're too busy spending time with your family, or doing some other thing, well, you're not going to have family life no more, and you're not going to have a job soon, because when they pull the plug, all that goes. And we're going to find people dead in the streets from starvation once they pull the monetary plug. It's over. They'll wear us down. This is the fight right now, and we can stop it if we have the time and we go forward now. we can protect our states, and we can start to prepare for the worst case scenario, and maybe even prevent the worst case scenario happening. So people have got to step up. They got to do it now. Sign up for the workshop. Get involved. Become get onto the jury pool.
Yeah. Well, I have kind of a weird look at this whole insane thing that the de facto is pulling on the rest of us. And it, well, you may or may not agree. It doesn't matter. It's all right. But I think it's all being done on purpose to wake us the F up.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, people. And, you know, claim your inheritance. Claim
the
heritage.
That's right.
And I think the spirit's right 100% behind you guys.
Well, again, the people involved on the putting this together are all focused in on Christ, so we're all Christian. And he comes first, and we kind of just rely on him. So, I mean, and we try to get that point to everyone else. You know, work out your problems with your God in your prayer closet. Go talk with him and work it out, because that's the first power you need. You need spiritual power. You need that relationship with a Heavenly Father. And then you don't have to worry about nothing else, because he's going to take care and prepare everything else. So... and I think we've been seeing that with what we're doing. I mean, we this stuff is just happening to us. We're not really. This is not our plan. So
right. We're just cool.
Yeah, I mean, we really are. A door's opening, and we walk through it. Sometimes we don't want to walk through it, but there's no other choice, so we walk through it. And is what it is.
Yep.
Anybody else want to pipe in here? I'll leave you open for a while, Kenny, if you have anything else to pipe in. But anybody else, just press on *8 and we'll unmute you. I see Michigan still has a number up. Is that because it's stuck up? Let me open them up. Or is your number just stuck up there, Michigan, or do you want to talk again?
I took it off.
Oh,
I thought it
okay.
Toggles on and toggles off. Okay.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll make sure it toggles off, and if it comes up again, then I'll know you really pushed it. All right. Anybody else have anything? Anybody else? Just raise your hand. It's *8 to raise your hand, and we'll unmute you. Well, waiting for that, Kenny. You got anything else?
No, I'm just really thrilled that this whole thing's going down, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's happening. I don't know. Did you ever hear of Mastery in Commerce?
No.
Or Creditors in Commerce?
Well, you know, we haven't looked into the commercial side of things. We've been too busy, you know, fighting court battles and learning the common law, just at the court of record side of things. And we've looked a little bit into it, and we saw that you really better know your business in that stuff if you're going to enter in and play with the commercial, the UCC stuff. So
right.
A couple of guys have looked in a little bit, and I just haven't had the time, you know, just very little. So, but right now, I think what we need to stay focused in on, as far as I'm concerned, for me, is to stay on this court of record thing, the common law, and work these jury things out, because this is the answer. And you know, if we're successful on this, we won't even need that UCC stuff anymore, because really, they're going to stop behaving. Once we take control, I'll tell you what, they're going to behave, and we're going to find that the courtrooms are going to really empty out. There's going to be a lot less court cases, I think, especially court cases suing judges and elected individuals and bureaucrats, you know?
Right. Well, what I wanted to tell you was that I basically kind of got my feet wet there, because there was some good information there, and it wasn't just all about the Uniform Commercial Code and that, but there was other basic information that related to common law, and that's really why I wanted to get in there. Obviously, looking for remedy with credit cards and foreclosure.
We've done a little of that. That's pretty simple stuff, the credit card stuff. We started looking into the mortgages, but I never had time to spend. But we do have some information on that, and and we're just not spending time on those kind of cases at the moment. But we did do some credit card stuff ourselves, so that turned out to be pretty simple, you know?
It's not that hard. And then the gold mine that I ran into there was signing up for this. It was a transformational workshop. Now, I know you're not going to go for it because you don't have time. You're up to your eyeballs with everything you got going on. But it raised my awareness level to, you know, it was got me up just to another a level and where I'm paying attention to what people say and how they say it. And because there's a lot of people that just don't, you know, they're just really sloppy with the language and whatever, this, that, they're not paying attention. So it was a workshop in New Mexico, and it was called Life Authorship, and the sister workshop was, oh, my goodness, what the hell was that one? I just went blank.
Is it online?
Yeah, it's clfnm.org.
If you can email me that stuff, you know, also, and, you know, if I can't get to it, you know, some of the other people that I'm working with, maybe they can find time to get out to it and eventually, you know, and at least they can bone up on it. And if we can use some of that stuff, we will. And we'll share it. You know, key things often is you share things with each other as you're working and doing things, and you just build more and more information and more experience that way. So,
yeah. But it was a great experience. I went through the whole thing with like a group of 30 people, and it was just awesome. So, but like I said, it's not really for everybody. Not everybody can take time off of work for something like that. Just like not everybody can sit on the grand jury. But
Well, everybody can do some on the grand jury and some trial jury. They may not be able to do it full time. We'll have to probably have, you know, it's kind of a guess, you know, each county is different. It depends on the population and the workload coming in through the judicial process. But, you know, just kind of a guesswork, maybe an average of maybe 6 hardcore people in each county to run things. You know, you need probably at least 3 foremen and 3 secretaries, and they need to do all the heavy lifting. And in some counties, they, all 3 of them or 6 of them, shall I say, may be busy all the time. And again, it depends on how much time you got to put into this. You know, I mean, I would do it full time, and I know there's other people. I'm willing to sacrifice, you know, what I have to do in life in order to do these things, because it's got to get done. And I know it'll come to an end. I mean, you know, if we put a couple of good years into this, and we're able to get that far into it, we definitely will take things back. The whole world will have a whole different look to it, because we'll be standing on the foundation of righteousness instead of the evil process that we've got going now. And then you go back off and let someone else take it, and you go back to enjoying life a little bit, you know?
Passing the torch.
Yep. By the way, Florida, you've been unmuted. Yep, exactly. So, and that's the key thing, you know, and everybody should become a committee man at some point in their life for a 2-year period. You know, everybody should come and do that. Just like you should get, everyone should always be in the jury pool. And again, you know, some people will be more active than others. And if you can't go and participate, you're busy, you can't go and participate. They'll go to the next person, they'll call the next person up, and they'll recycle you back into the system. No big deal.
Right.
But we have to get there and stand up and do this thing.
Yeah, well, I think once you start making a dent, there's probably not going to be too many people looking for excuses to get out of their jury duty. They'll be looking forward to it.
Exactly. And there'll be a lot less work, I'll tell you right now, because, first of all, a lot of the cases that come up are bogus. I mean, they got all these things that they arrest people for. They're all bogus. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to get back to the real stuff, where the real injuries are at. You know, without the injured party, there is nothing. They don't have anything. And there are extenuating circumstances, and people are going to have to figure that out on their own. You know, I was talking with someone the other day, and we were thinking, well, okay, you know, what if some, you know, if someone's drunk driving, you know, the cops got to stop them. I mean, they're endangering society. And even if they have to take the keys away and drive the individual home or drive them to some place until they can sober up, whatever the case may be. But that case should go up to the grand jury. Not that they should indict them, but they should get a warning on this and maybe even suggested that they do maybe a little bit of, public service or something. But the thing is if they get caught again, I think the grand jury may have to consider, giving them 3 months' time. And someone like
right.
that doesn't have to be in jail. You put them at home. Why would you put them in a prison? You know what I mean? You give them community service for 3 months, and you make them go home at night or something. And people are going to have to be creative and figure this out. They're not criminals. They just got a problem. But you can't allow people
right.
to endanger others. But again, people have to think this out. They have to have the right mindset, the right frame of mindset. And then they just figure it out. And that's what people got to do.
That just reminded me of an article I read by Lysander Spooner. You know who he is?
It sounds familiar, but I don't know.
Okay, well, if you just did a search, you'll find he did some writings. He was kind of a rebel lawyer back when lawyers were lawyers and not liars. And
mm-hmm.
he wrote a couple of good articles. One was on vices are not crimes.
Right, exactly.
And it's an excellent, eye-opening article.
Mm-hmm.
If you
get people coming into the jury and they think that they got to put someone in jail because they're smoking marijuana, then, they're lost. I mean, this is why we have to have... we have to have a mindset. This is why we have the workshop. People have got to understand what freedom is, what law is, what liberty is, and what the fiction is and how the fiction came to be. They need to understand that process. They need to know the game that's going on.
And I think some of that gets explained in that common law book I was telling you about. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, send me that info and definitely look into that. Florida, by the way, you're unmuted. Go right ahead.
John, this is John in Florida. It's probably
how
my
you
brother's.
Doing, John?
Okay, and yourself?
Good, thank you.
My brother's on the other line. He probably wants to ask a couple of questions, but I just want to tell you a couple of things real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I just sent out an email about the webinar about the Sunday change on the time. It's 12 to 4, correct?
Right. This weekend, it's from 10 to 2. Saturday, 10 to 2 on Sunday. Next weekend, the weekend after this weekend, we moved it from 12 to 4 on Saturday and 12 to 4 on Sunday to try to accommodate the people on the West Coast.
Okay, I'll have to resend that then. I thought it was this weekend. I apologize.
Yes, the next weekend. So, and anybody who hasn't signed up, they need to get out there and register. And anybody, if we get people from Florida that registered or, and we get information and they start to file in and fill up, we start to get information on them, we'll ship it to the people on our list, that list of people, so that you guys have contact with them out to whatever state it is they're coming in from, So it's people that could be contacted by the other leaders.
Two other things I had. What was the gentleman's name that was on, I believe, last week or the week before? The gentleman that was really knowledgeable, like 30-some-odd years he's been studying law, and he knew everything.
Right. That was Ben. I've spoken with him a few times since, and I'm going to try to get together with him. Yeah, he's in New York. He's up in Monroe County in New York, and... he's got a lot of knowledge in the statutory part of law, but that seems to support and could be some good ammunition for us for common law.
And my only other thing was an update on your current case. Have they responded yet?
It's been some interesting things. We just sent out new papers today. The judge really got himself into a pickle. And he went in and stole the paperwork from the files and removed it from the files. And the clerk didn't report it and let it go, let the judge take it. And then he used the mail, which is a federal offense, to get those stolen papers out of his office. And he actually mailed it to me. And so we put it all back together, and we just found him in contempt, and we fined him one silver dollar. And this is, you know, the first time we just let him know and gave him a warning. This time we're going to get him for a silver dollar. We let him know that he's facing charges. I think it's calculating up to about 30 years in prison. You know, I think the federal charge going through the mail is quite a few years. I think he can get 20 years for that.
Sure.
So, you know, when you put it all together, so we sent that back out. The other side also had already went and acted upon his minutes or minute for the court as if it was a conclusion, as if he was the judge when he's only the administrator of the court. And so he went up and took the mantle and made a ruling. We overturned that ruling. The other side ran with it very quickly. So we sent a letter to correct the process to the clerk, and we did we gave them another 15 days to answer. But we're going to be putting all that paperwork up there, you know, maybe the next day or two. I just sent everything out today, and if I get time tomorrow or the next day, I'll get it all up there, and it'll be the latest. We'll put something on the front page. People will know that something new happened. But it's kind of interesting. It'll be good reading for anybody who's interested in it.
Great. Dom, my brother Dominic's on the other line. Go ahead. Take it away.
Hi, John. How are you?
How you doing?
Pretty good, buddy. Hey, John pretty much got my question answered. I was going to ask you how the case was going, but you answered it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just glad that things are still moving forward. So,
right.
Basically, I'm just standing by. Okay?
Well,
I'd like to get together with you this week and just talk to you privately if I can. Or maybe when we get off the recording, and maybe we can talk again. I don't know.
Well, my Skype is John Duresh, and just get me on Skype. I'm usually available on Skype, or, you know, if you call my 233 number, I'm usually at my computer, and that runs through my Skype, so we can talk there too. But those are two places.
Okay.
All right. Anybody have anything else or anybody else want to pipe in here? Hit star 8 to raise your hand, and I'll unmute you. Hi, Florida, I'm going to mute you a bit because I get some noise coming back. If you want to talk again, just raise your hand. Okay, I see New York just raised their hand. I see Northwest New York. I'll get to you in a minute. New York, go ahead first.
Hello, John. This is Chris from Dutchess County. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Chris? Good to hear from you.
I had a question about the committee man process.
Yes, go ahead.
Because we're in the middle of that, a five-week phase of time here where we go out and get our signatures.
Right.
And I was looking through the election law again and going through the Republican Party rules because I'm a member of the Republican Party. And I know that in last year you made a big point of saying that when you fill out the designating petitions, that the title of the role that we are running for is simply committee man. It's not member of the county committee. It's not anything else except committee man. And looking through the party rules, they do make mention of a district committee man a few times, and it's like a capitalized title. It's like an official title, a district committee man, which, as far as I know, is what we're reaching for, right? The committee man is a district committee man. Is that right?
Well, a committee man is an individual within their own election district, and every place that affects that election district, he has a seat on that particular committee. So if in your election district, you belong to assembly district, so you have a seat on that assembly district to make the decision on the assemblyman that affects you and through your election district. Same
right.
Thing with your congressional district, your senatorial district, and so on. Now, I don't know what they're talking about. They make these things up, and whatever works for them, I don't know. A lot of these positions don't belong anywhere. They have nothing to do with anything. The New York State Supreme Court has ruled over and over again, numerous times, mind you, that these people that claim to be in power, this private association called the Republican and Democratic Party here in New York, in the state of New York, they have no statutory or constitutional right or authority to do what they're doing and to make the decisions that what they're deciding on. But nobody's doing anything about it, and we've got two court cases, as you know, in the Supreme Court to try to fix this problem. But, of course, they don't want to fix this problem. But the grand jury is going to deal with this problem. And we're still fighting through the courts. But as far as the party rules, just burn them. They're irrelevant. They don't mean anything. That's only for the private association. Now, if you want to go sit down and see what's going on, I know we do have some people in the system. One person recently got kicked out. But you know, they know what's going on just to see what's happening, and they're involved somewhat. But, you know, I'm an elected committee man, and I don't go to their meetings. Their meetings are dumb. It's meaningless, in my opinion. But, you know, if we can get enough people into the system, we could take it over by sheer numbers, even though, you know, it's just another way to do it. But we can't get enough people to do that. It's hard to get people's attention to get them to go through this process. You know, it is what it is. Run, get on board, because did you come to the, I don't know if you were with us when we did the state meeting last year on June 2nd?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay, yeah, you were there? All right, so we've got the real party rules, which is on a state level. It's one party rules for the whole process. And we've got a resolution we wrote. And between those two things, it empowers the people and takes and gets rid of the kings, you know, the kings of the county, which these people try to get these positions, county chairman, and they become the king of the county, and they think and they rule everyone, you know. In the real world, when we go back, the county chairman is an ambassador for the committee. He does the will of the committee. He doesn't have his own will. He doesn't have a bigger vote, and he doesn't have a bigger say. You know, he's only the king of his little world, just like we're kings of our little world. That's it. And the only difference is he's got the hammer to tell everyone to shut up, and that's about it. You know.
Well, so you would maintain then that it would not be correct to say district committee man on the designating petition?
Doesn't exist. No such thing exists. Some people, they got these state committee men, they run out. That doesn't exist either. The state committee man is the state committee. It's not a committee man. It's a state committee. There are 62 people that sit on the state committee in New York State, and that's one from every county. It's the county chairman, it sits on the state committee. And whatever is decided on that state committee before that decision is made, remember, he's only the ambassador to the county. So he's got to come back and talk to his people in the county. In my case, there are 249 committee men in my county. So if I was the county chairman, I would need to come back and talk with the people in my county and let them know what we're thinking of doing up there on the state level and get their feelings, thoughts, and opinions. And if they take a vote on things and they want to go this way or that way, then I have to go along with that because, again, I'm only the ambassador. So I go back up to the state meeting and voice the opinion of my county. And that's the process. It's a reasonably good democratic system. You know, some of our system is democratic. That's one. And the way we choose some of our leaders is also democratic. But, of course, we are a republic. And the ultimate thing, of course, is obedience to the Constitution.
Okay, thanks.
All right. We have, we got videos and everything up on our line, right?
So, yeah, I've been going through that stuff again just to make sure I'm doing everything proper again because I'm going to start going out and getting these get signatures and
right.
stuff. I want to make sure that I have the right information and understanding before I start filling out all the paperwork.
Right. Well, I videotaped Lenny. Lenny was really doing a good job teaching this stuff, and we've got all of his the videos. He did make a few errors, but they were very minute. And we did make the corrections down below the video. If you read the paragraphs below the video, it makes the few corrections, but nothing on a major level.
Right.
Definitely you have to run the way we lay it out and fill out the form the correct way. And if you ran last year You see, I may not run this year because I ran last year, and really the town committeemen are running, you know, which, is, again, is a private association. So I may run only so that I can sue them again. But I got to find the time to do it.
I might say that.
But I'm still an elected committeeman, and my position continues until next year because it's the even year than when you're supposed to run. And so if you ran last year, you don't really have to run. But it's not going to hurt to run. I run every year anyway, just so I can sue them every year. And this year, last year I didn't think the way I thought. You know, I sued the state. I sued the Board of Election. You know, now with my, I've come to realize I need to be suing the individuals. I need to be going after the people who are preventing the process from going forward. And getting some money out of them, because that's what will make them remember and learn, is to take some money away from them. So the commissioners need to be sued. But I could sue off of last year's anyway. But I may run if I get the time. I'm going to go out and spend a day, you know, and run again.
Okay.
Northwest New York, you're unmuted. Go right ahead.
Okay, I assume that's me. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that you are greatly appreciated in all your efforts that you're putting forth here. Hey, and so you're familiar with Title 18 and Title 42 and
mm-hmm.
How to take people to task under those.
Correct.
And just you were just talking about suing individuals and taking their money and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't mind riding on your heels for a while and watching you in court and stuff like that. There's some
well,
we
always post whenever we go to court, and people are welcome to come up.
Okay.
So you just keep an eye open. If you join New York Committeeman, if you go to newyorkcommitteeman.org, and up on the top right-hand corner, there's a yellow button that says Join Our Meetup, and that's Liberty Alliance. You know, we're kind of one and the same. And so if you join New York Liberty Alliance Meetup, you'll be on the email list for those events. So anytime we do anything in the state of New York, people get notices about that. But we also, people join that from other out of the state. Other people from other states join too, and it's a good place to get some information. And we don't do too much conversation, but I think as time goes on, we may start to use that as more of a conversational place, more than we're doing now anyway. So.
Okay, and then, I was on the phone listening to Ben when he was on a few weeks ago.
I think it was 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Okay, it sounds like he's right around the block from me. So I wouldn't
mind.
Yeah,
he's up in Monroe there, yeah.
Same as I am.
Yep.
There's now 4 contacts for Monroe County.
Right. Well, I know a group of them are looking to do the workshop together in one place. I guess they got a big TV or something, or they're going to put it on a screen or something. Are you going to be part of that?
I would love to.
Well,
yeah,
I know up in Monroe, there's some people.
I'd like to meet people of like mind, you know.
Right. You're in Monroe then, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. If you go out to our New York County Leaders page, New York Committeeman on the left side.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, and if you go to that, I think Livingston, let me see, I think it's Livingston. Yeah, Livingston, if you call Corey up, he'll give you some information. He's a 315 number. I guess that's his maybe his cell number. But if you see Corey or talk to him, make note that if people are going to be watching together in one place, they should all register anyway, even though only one person's going to enter into the room, so that they will, once they register, the people in New York will actually be registering to become the committee, the jurist. So they'll be get on that list for the state, and we need to get as many people as possible. Everybody's got to get out and register.
Okay, I will definitely contact them. I tried 2 people in Monroe County, and I kind of struck out so far. I'll give Corey a call tomorrow.
Yeah, call Corey, and he's pretty active.
Okay, sweet. And then I know some people that are in need of real help pretty soon, you know. and I'm like trying to scour these videos. There's just so much to absorb in a short period of time.
Right.
Do you know anybody that you know could help out with that? Already is like you that kind of knows all the processes and can like.
What kind of case? What kind of situation?
Well, I have a friend who's being taken to task by a federal judge. He's got some issues. They kind of railroaded him in times past.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of needs help fast to stay out of their jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. Well, he can give me a call. I'll see what I could do for him, maybe pass him on to someone, or maybe I'll be able to help him. But you people... You know, we only help people who are ready and able to help themselves. You know, we put in as much time as they put in to their
right.
case, and they have to be willing to learn the common law, because you see, this is a self thing. This is something that the people themselves have got to do. You know, to learn the process on how to get into the courts, about 3 months. You know, and that even that's a long time. You know, you put this in the eighth grade and for 3 months or 6 months. And every kid coming out of school will be able to go to court, be able to get, you know, get into the court, fill out the paper and learn the process. You know, common law in itself is pretty simple, pretty much. And a lot of this in the process of a court of record and how that's put together is really pretty simple. And again, it's just really a matter of listening to the tapes. So if you go and listen to the lectures we have by Bill Thornton, up on our website, and just listen to them over and over again. And every time you listen to them, you pick up something new, and you'll get more and more knowledge. I mean, you know, I that's what I did. I just listened to the tapes all day long. And when I had the time, I'd sit down and I'd start from one lecture and go through very slowly, maybe spending an hour making notes. And then another time I'll sit back and pick back up where I left off and make notes until you make notes through the whole process. But ultimately, it's just, you know, kind of diving into it, just listening.
Thanks.
You know, you learn through osmosis, you know, because it's all logical right. anyway.
Yep. 3 months, I'm going to be awesome. Thanks for leading the way. I'm right behind you.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too. Any other questions? Just pipe in. I'll leave you unmuted for a while. New York, opening your mic now. I'm trying. Yep, there you go. New York down there. You're open.
Hey, John. How you doing? It's Hisham from Staten Island.
Hey, how you doing, Hisham?
How are you guys? I'm sorry I came in late, so I'm not sure if you covered this part already. I received this email probably from you about running for the committeeman this year for New York County.
Well, I didn't send any. Let me think if I see. I didn't send anything out on the committee, man. We'll probably on the workshop. We may take 20 minutes out to just look at the committee, man. But we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. We do have a lot of videos up online that people can go and view as far as how to walk your district. We have a video on the process. We have a video on how to fill out the paperwork, the designating petition. And we also have all these instructions in written form, too. So if you go to NewYorkCommitteeMen.org on the left side, click on political process, I think it is. Let me see. I think that's what it says, political process. Oh, no, committeeman process. Click on committeeman process, and that page, all the tabs on the top of that page has to do with the committeeman. And everything you ever want to know about the committeeman, it's right there. And we even have a presentation on this front page, which is a PowerPoint video.
That's great, thank you. But the email that I received was from committeeman, newyorkcommitteeman.org, and it was, I mean, when I asked, is this the regular, like the constitutional committeeman or the member of the county, and I think the answer was member of the Republican Party, Manhattan County.
Yeah, you wouldn't get anything from me on that. If you did get anything from me, and I don't recall sending anything out on the committee man this year yet, although the process has started, I've been so involved with the judicial thing, I think this is the most important thing. But yeah, you have to run as committee man, period. That's your title. You put anything else on that, you're something else, and you didn't run for the proper office. And the bogus one, which is just a facade, is member of the county committee. Anybody running under that title is running for a bogus position. They think they may be elected, but they're really just joining a party. That's all they're doing. And that party can get rid of you like that.
And is it that the entire state constitutionally on an even numbered year?
Well, constitutionally, it's even numbered, but if the seat's empty, you can run every year. If you ran last year, you don't really have to run this year, because when we empower people through the grand jury, when we do fix that process, anybody who ran last year or this year and did it properly will be brought into the system as an elected committeeman, and we'll take control of the parties in New York.
Okay. Let me.
You ran last year, didn't you?
I did, yes.
So you're in good shape. If you don't have the time and you don't want to run this year, you're still good. Just make sure you keep your paperwork, because you never know what they'll do with it. But as long as you got your paperwork with that stamp on it, that's what will get us in. But we'll appoint people throughout the state anyway once we get going on that, because, you know, last count there was only about 150 of us. So.
Mm-hmm. So let me know if you decide to actually run again this year so I can also do the same. So,
right. You know. Yeah, I'm not planning on it. If I do run, it's only because I'm planning on suing. And I may want to sue them personally this year, and I think that's the way to go. But again, if I have the time, I'll do it. If I don't have the time, I'm there anyway. And I, you know what? We can sue from last year anyway, because there, you know, there's no limitation on time in common law.
Okay, sounds good. How long do you think the recording will go on? Because there are a couple of issues that needs to be discussed off the record.
Oh, how long this recording, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just a little while longer. We'll see who else has some questions, and then we can. What, do you want to talk in the room or privately?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's openly is fine also, but. You know.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll let you know. Well, you'll know when it goes off. It'll go off shortly. I don't like to go too long. It's going about an hour and 10 minutes right now. I may run at least another 20 minutes, depending on if we get conversation continued.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, John.
All right. Northwest New York, are you raising your hand again, or is your hand just happens to be up?
Oh, no, it just happened to be up. You could put it back down. Sorry.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Mics are open, raise your hand, click on *8, and we'll unmute you, and you can take the mic. Let me just repeat some of the things I said earlier concerning the workshop. You got to sign up for the workshop. Anybody who sent in, you know, at first we were going to do these workshop live, and the logistics just was impossible. And also, you know, now we're available to the people in other states by doing it online through a webinar, so it works out better, I think. And it takes a lot of pressure off me, because I got a lot to do anyway, and to really work those logistics out was insane. But if you filled out a paper, that's not going to get you in. That's not registering you. You have to go online to register. You have to self-register. So people need to go up to newyorkcommittymen.org. Okay, right on the front page is a yellow button. It says register for workshop. Click on that, and you'll get two options, either June 22nd and 23rd, or you get the second option, which is June 29th and 30th. So either one of those two weekends. The first weekend is from 10 to 2 on Saturday and 10 to 2 on Sunday. The second weekend is from 12 to 4 on Saturday and 12 to 4 on Sunday. Mostly done that way to accommodate people on the West Coast or Central Time, you know, get a little later, so it'll be earlier for them. But anyway, everybody's got to get out there and register for this. And we need to make this a success. We need to get as much people as possible. We need to get as educated as possible, and those that really, really want to learn about this stuff. But we're going to give a lot of information and a lot of stuff that we'll be able to really use. So register for the program. All right, again, anybody have anything, mics are open, just click on *8. I don't see anybody's hand up right now, so *8, and we'll get your hand up, and we'll unmute you. any questions or comments, and we'll talk about any subject. We talked a little earlier about enforcement, so anybody who came in late and was interested in that, you can re-listen to that portion of the program, the first, I don't know, maybe 35 minutes. We did talk in there about enforcement and a few other things, time, and we also put the word out there to watch for infiltrators and misinformation. I want to tell you, there's a huge amount of the misinformation, and people that have good intentions are going around teaching things that are wrong. They just don't realize it. So, but anyway, mic is open. Star 8 to raise your hand. Okay, New York again, down on the bottom. Go right ahead, New York.
Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing, Manny?
Good evening. How are you?
Good, good, good. Good to see you on the call.
Yeah, just to mention, I was reading tonight, right before your program, about the Florida grand jury. Just read about the... Are you familiar with what they're doing over there?
I know that there's grand juries in Florida. I don't think... There's only a couple, I believe, but I don't know what they're doing now.
Well, they have a case against... actually, they started in 2012. They have a case against the president and vice president.
Oh, yeah, I got a copy of that case. That's not going anywhere.
Okay. Figure, you know, but what I
want to... It's too big. I mean, it's too big. It's too big. Look
no,
at
no,
you.
No, what,
20,
what I wanted to say is that their setup, as far as committee men, is totally different than the way we are setting it up.
Right.
They are kind of using some of the grand jury existing, plus from what I read on the front page, they're using their present judicial system to empower the grand jury. So that's something totally different. I mean, I wanted you to say, I don't know if you read the article, so...
I don't understand that. They're using the present judicial system to empower the grand jury?
Correct.
In other words, they randomly,
I just read, as I said, I didn't read the whole thing, but I read the front page, and what they do is they randomly choose volunteers. It's something different than what you're doing. In other words, you are kind of trying to acknowledge the people of what's going on. They are randomly choosing people to put in the grand jury, and then I think they submit the names to the local judges, and that's how they proceed, which is totally different from what you're doing. And I was wondering if we have a way of choosing the way to proceed. It's up to the people in different areas, different states, or is there a procedure?
Well, yeah, this is what you got to understand is this. This is totally the people's business. Totally. The people need to maintain control on this business. There's no way we should never, you know, and again, people are trying to figure things out and they make mistakes and, you know, so on and so forth. And we're going to be no different. I'm sure we're going to make mistakes too. And when we figure them out, we'll fix them. But we see a lot of mistakes already being done and we're not going to make those mistakes. We're not going to give any government, anybody on the government payroll, we're not going to give them any part of the process of what we, the people, have to be doing. If there needs to be a jury picked, then we'll call up, we'll get the jury people, we'll get the people potentially for the jury together, and we'll have them come down to the courthouse, and the lawyers can quiz them and see who they want to use and not want to use. I mean, I think that might be part of the process. I think that's probably acceptable. But we're not going to turn these people over to the judge and say, here's the people, and just let them loose in that way. I don't think that's wise. We have to maintain control of that. The other thing, send me the information. I'll take a look to see what they're doing.
Well, the site is www.citizengrandjury.org.
Well, right there's the big mistake, Citizen Grand Jury. So that tells me that they have a huge problem
right there. And this is in the state of Florida.
All right, so it's www.citizengrandjury.com.
Citizengrandjury.com.
I'll go take a look at that. I may have spoken to these people, and, you know, again, once you use that word citizen, and it is true that we are sovereign citizens of the state of New York, and people of Florida are sovereign citizens of New York, not the state of New York, but of New York, and
right.
People in Florida are sovereign citizens of Florida. But it's so dangerous to use that word, they will take the opportunity to say, aha, you see, 14th Amendment people, and they'll push you right into that category. They'll start making some arguments and some positions, and if you don't know and understand what's going on in the process and the procedure, you may get caught up into that, and next thing you know, you're in a battle that you don't even need to be into. We the people, that, you know, that is the safest thing you can call yourself, is one of the people. We the people, in order to, you know, to create and so on and so forth, we ordained and established this Constitution. So that's who we are. We're the people. And in any kind of a judicial process, you know, courts or whatever, you always want to be the people. Stay away from the word citizen, because they've destroyed that word. It's too dangerous to use.
Right. Uh-huh. Even their approach to the whole program is different than the way you're doing it. So that's what I wanted to see, if you had looked at it. Since you did not look at it, I just wanted to contrast if there is, I mean, why one approach against another one? But since you didn't read about it, so there is no sense in going. I mean, I didn't read the whole thing myself.
Yeah, I'll
just
take a look at it. I'll take a look at it and see once what I might think. Might be able to glean something off of it. It sounds familiar. I know I talked to somebody who wrote a book and talked about the citizen grand jury, and I explained that was a problem to begin with, the fact that they're calling it a citizen's grand jury. That people are going to take opportunity of that, you know? And so you're going to run into problems with that.
So. John.
Yes.
One more comment I want to make. Since some people in the past have raised the issue of how we're going to make this legal and make a stand, based on what's going on with the Supreme Court these days, how far do you think, personally, we could get with this?
Well, it's all a process. By the way, ENN, Alabama, you're unmuted. It's all a process. The enforcement is the process itself. There is absolutely no human being on the entire planet that has the authority to get in the way of the grand jury. You have to realize that. So when someone tries to stop anything we're doing, you know, you just, well, where's your authority? They don't have any, and they can't produce any, and that's what you go out after them on. And if you got to pull up U.S. charges to do so, you do that. And if you have to open a court of record to do that and file the both criminal and civil against them, then we do that. Then that's what we have to do. And also, that's why we're going to have a lot of grand juries all around us, so we can also use the grand jury next door to indict the judge in our county if he's in our way and giving us problems. But the other thing is this, you see, the judge can do and say what he wants to. We'll just ignore him. The key thing is the clerk is not doing their job. They're agreeing with the judge. So we go after the clerk, and we threaten the clerk with 3 years in jail for refusing the file. Because that's the penalty, 3 years in jail. And we will push that to the limit. Of course, you know, we don't want to put anybody in jail, but if that's what has to be done in order to get this republic back, then we'll put him or her in jail. And believe me, they're not going to want to go to jail for the judge.
Okay.
So, EN Alabama, you've been unmuted. Go right ahead.
Hey, John, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
All right. You know, once this thing gets implemented and you get the majority of the counties or whatever all across this nation to implement these grand juries, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to enforce this. You know, this is like trying to get the
No, there's no enforcement. You don't have to worry. The process is the enforcement part of this whole thing. We were just going through that. And if you listen to the earlier part of this audio, you know, later on, you'll see we talked a little bit about it. But I'll talk a little more about it. You see, there is nobody. There is nobody with the authority to get in the way of the grand jury, and the judge doesn't come to play with this. We're not going to seek his permission. We're not going to go kiss his ring. It has nothing to do with us. And so we're just going to file the papers and go forward and expect that the clerk obey the law, which is the process. And if they don't obey the law because the judge sticks his toes into it, we'll cut the judge's toes off, and then we'll threaten the people who are responsible for making the process go by. We'll threaten them with 3 years in jail. That would be the clerk. And the clerk will file the papers because we will command them to file the papers. So they won't give us a hard – well, they'll try. They may try to give us a hard time, but believe me, the threat of jail – going to court and potentially going to jail should upset them.
Well, one of the problems I can see is, you know, if you read the certain statutes, U.S. statutes and codes and whatnot, you know, like in certain acts, like the Sovereign Immunity Act, 1976.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
I mean, all that, you know, everybody's in public office is existing in a foreign state.
Well, they're existing in a fantasy world because once they put their feet into the reality world, we're going to put them in jail. You know, look at the clerk. We do a file on demand, and in that file on demand, they will be thoroughly threatened with 3 years in jail. They'll make it very clear, and they're going to go talk to their judge, and they're going to say, hey, judge, you know, you don't want me to do this, and I agree with you maybe because I'm trying to kiss your rear end, but you know what? Look at this. I don't want to go to jail, you know? And they're going to do the right thing. And then if we have to, you know, we can have a grand jury in the next county over, remove them from office, get them out of our way. There's lots of ways to deal with this. We can do federal charges, and we can do the federal charges in our own court as the tribunal in a court of record here in New York State. And New York State is really a good state to be able to pull the court of record. Not only do we have a lot of case law right within the state itself, and also U.S. state case law and process and history and everything else. But on top of that, we have a way to come into the courts without pulling the judge into the system. We don't file what's called an RJI. We just file for the index number, which gets us to put our summons out there and be able to print on top of the paper with authority, New York Supreme Court, you know, Dutchess County or whatever county you're in. And then we, the tribunal, will control the whole process, and we'll just keep the judge out of it. And so that's kind of unique here in New York.
Right.
So
well,
we can go through the whole process without a judge involved at all.
But over in Alabama, you know, under Article 1, Section 35 of the Constitution for Alabama, it says that the sole and legitimate end of government is to protect the people, life, liberty, property, any other function.
Mm-hmm.
Just about everything they do violates that article.
That's true. But
and,
once
if you read the Alabama Code, in Article 1, Chapter 3, Section 1, it says Alabama is a common law state.
Right.
But when you go into any tribunal around here at any level, you know, it don't have any kind of resemblance to a common law.
Right. Well, they have the nisi prius system. They're running on the fiction. And remember, you know, in the United States of America is the trust. That's what our founding fathers put together as a union for the states. It's the United States of America. The United States is the corporation. The United States is owned by the elite, and the United States owns the territories, and they play the zip code game and a few other games in order to bring you under their authority and bring you into subjection under the 14th Amendment. So they get the people to agree that they're U.S. citizens under the 14th Amendment, and therefore now they're residents of the state. Everybody believes they're a resident. What's your residency? And you give them your address. Well, that means you're just here for business. You really belong somewhere else. And since you're a U.S. citizen, you belong in the District of Columbia, so you're under their law and their constitution, not under the Constitution of the United States of America. You see, it's a game they play. And when you go into their state buildings, they're the state of New York or the state of Alabama or the state of California. You see, that's the fiction. That's the corporation. I'm in New York, period. That's where I'm from. The country of New York. Yeah, it's one of the states. I'm in New York.
In New York.
Huh?
There's no way you can be in New York. You can be on the GIF.
The point is, I'm from New York. I'm domiciled in New York. I'm not a resident of New York. When I go to court, I don't put state of New York, county of Dutchess. I put, state of New York. I don't put state of New York, Supreme Court, County of Dutchess. I put New York Supreme Court, Dutchess County. You see, that's the reality. They use the fiction. I turn it around. They don't say anything because they
use a small C for county and not a capital C.
Huh?
You want to use a small C for county and not a capital C.
Yeah, well, the key thing is county of is the corporation. Dutchess County is the reality.
Right.
See, that's the key. And I think they should be capitalized, but you might be onto something that I don't know about, so I can't argue against it. But I don't see a problem with the other thing. You see, when we go into court, we come in as one of the people of New York, and in this court of record, sue whoever we're suing. And right there, we just said everything we need to say, because we're the people. That's the authority we're coming under. That's who we are, of New York, and we're suing someone in a common law procedure, which is the court of record. And the court of record puts us to be the tribunal. If we're suing the state, we are the tribunal. If we're suing another king, well, then we may be the sovereign of the court, but they'll get a jury if they know enough to ask for one. If not, then we'll make the final decision at the end, and it'll be a surprise to them. So that's the process. You see, because the government cannot decide a court case for you. A judge cannot decide a court case for you. That's, how could you let the servant decide the fate of a master? You know what I mean?
Right.
So they can't judge. They're supposed to be justices, not judges. A justice is one who reflects, that which is virtue, comes from God, righteousness, the good, good, not evil. And that's what they're supposed to reflect. And they're supposed to recognize the sovereign's court and do the will of the sovereign, as long as it's righteous. That's all.
Right. Well, also you look at the 11th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the courts were divulged, lost all their ability to hear cases.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, this whole thing was perpetrated upon us by the Bar Association. The Bar Association controls the schools, all of the education. The Bar Association decides who the judges are going to be, who's qualified. They also can refuse someone coming into the bar as a lawyer. If they're disobedient to their process, they throw them out of the bar and take them off the registry. And judges actually believe that these people are licensed and that they're licensed. It's really, they live in a total fantasy world.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, they do. And the problem is they got everybody else believing it too.
Right, right. By the way, West North Carolina, you've been unmuted too. So, yeah, that's true. And again, you see, people talk about jury nullification. I mean, that's exactly what we're bringing to the courts, jury nullification. But, go beyond that. How about people nullification? You see, if it's a statute, it's not law. Nullify it.
We got a member in our county assembly here that has wrote a pretty lengthy thing on jury sovereignty. He hates the word jury nullification. He says it ought to be jury sovereignty.
Well, I think it just should be the grand jury and the jury, and ultimately it's the people, and that's
right.
It. So, and the people are sovereign.
Sovereign for
but
that?
Yeah, that's true on that, because you see, they do. You see, even with jury nullification, they still get away with trying to school the jury, and that's a problem. That's jury tampering. And so when a judge tries to tell a jury that, hey, you know, this is what the law means and this is how you have to rule, that removes mercy and everything. You know, all the human aspect comes out of it, and you no longer have the people. You have the system, the process that they created, the system that is finding this person either, you know, guilty or innocent or whatever. But that's jury tampering. And under our system, once the judges understand that, you know, we'll let them know. And we'll warn them a few times, but, you know, at some point, they're going to go to jail for tampering with the jury if they don't stop. And our juries, you know, the jury that we're going to provide, the people, it's the job of the people to provide the juries, not the government. It's the people's job. That's what we're supposed to do. And so, you know, they're not going to have the opportunity to talk with our juries, because we already will have the truth and go in there with the truth. The jury will speak up and let them know, excuse me, Mr. Judge, you do your job, which is administrate over there. This is our job. Don't worry about that. You know?
I got a question here and a comment, too. Comment first, you know, if you sign any contract or anything, agreement of any kind, under threat, that issues a simple traffic ticket. If you refuse to sign it, they'll take you to jail, right? So you're signing it under threat, basically, right?
Right.
That makes it null and void by law.
Well, let me tell you the whole truth of the whole matter. I know somebody, and I don't know if they may even be in this room right now. I know somebody who, under the IRS, was convicted, went to jail for quite a few years, came out of jail, going through problems with them again, but they're going to sue them going back to the very beginning and have every right, because the whole thing was fraud. You see, once you discover you've been under fraud, you can go back 10 years. It doesn't matter. There is no statute of limitation in common law. And so you can claim your rights at any given time, and it could be even after the punishment. And now you can get paid for the punishment that you've been put through. This is huge, because you could take the whole system down in lawsuits alone just on that. Once people wake up and realize that I've been defrauded, you know.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, Carl, you're unmuted too. West North Carolina, you're unmuted. If you want to pipe in.
Yes, John. This is Jay from North Carolina. I hear a lot of people say legal. I've even heard you say it a lot. And it's my understanding, to what I've been learning, that there's a huge difference between legal and lawful. And if you say legal, you're talking about their corporate world. And if you say lawful, you're talking about our world.
Yeah, I think that would be
your
correct. I think that's a correct understanding. I don't realize, maybe, you know, out of habit, I might use the word legal. But, yeah, you're right. It should be lawful. So
well, I think that's something that we all need to be aware of. I mean, if words mean the difference, just be aware of what you're saying. Is that legal? Is that their world? Or is that lawful?
Right. I agree with you on that. Yeah, because legal could be statutory. Lawful definitely is nothing less than common law.
Okay. Well, I've even heard you use legal quite a few times. And every time you do,
That's the old me popping out from time to time. If I get corrected enough time, hopefully I'll stop using it.
Well, that's why I keyed up, because the caller before said legal. Is that legal for them to, you know, no. Yeah,
right.
It might be legal in their world, but it's not lawful in our world. And everybody needs to be aware of that fact and really make a mental note to always use the word lawful.
I agree.
Unless you're
talking about their world. Same thing with the citizen. Same thing the way we deal with the state. You know,
yeah.
New York, not the state of New York. Same thing with our nation. You know, we're a nation, not a country. and were the United States of America, not the United States, because one is a fiction, one is reality. And, yeah, it takes a little while for people to pick up on that. A lot of people think we're a democracy because they heard it so many times. Every time you listen to any elected individual, they say democracy. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I know I corrected Chris Gibson one time in public, and he accepted the correction. And next time I saw him in public, he was talking, and when he went to say democracy, he said republic, and he looked at me. He said, right, you know. So he took the correction, and he took it with humor, so it was good.
Okay.
He's got other problems, that guy. Chris Gibson is my congressman. He's got some other problems, but in any event, you're right. We've got to correct our language.
Yep. Well, that's all I had, really. Just, you know, he said the question was, is that legal?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Okay.
Yeah, hopefully I'll catch it next time. Carl, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to the guy from West New York know that I always remind you about the difference between law and legal.
Oh, stop
it. You still don't
listen. You're killing me, Carl.
But, you know, the grand jury, we both came across a common law grand jury website, and the guy he won't take my phone call. I think you talked to him briefly, so possibly another enemy in the horizon. I'm going to citizensgrandjury.com, and when you look at the manual, the first thing it says is it's part of the Jury Selection and Service Act, Section 28 of the U.S. Code. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, it tells the statutes and
it's a problem,
fraud.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
again, these people may have good intentions that's running this thing, but they've been infiltrated and led to believe the lie. And they're living the lie. And once they invest enough time into it, it's hard for them to come out of it because, no, I can't be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I can't be wrong.
So what we tell people is three things that I can think of right off the bat. First off, it doesn't require statutes. We make the rules up. The people do. We don't need we don't need legislators involved in this process at all.
Right.
We're a people, and we need 25 jurors.
That's right. Look, as long as we do the process right, and as long as we, make it so obvious that they can't deny it, okay, and we do those two things, everything else we can make up, because the law is whatever you say it is.
Hallelujah.
And, of course, you know, the key thing, and we're always teaching, you know, we have to have a sense of justice, we have to have a sense of honor, and we have to have a sense of mercy. Those are the three points that we need to build all things on. And if we develop that to the best we can as a human being, then we'll do okay. Just got to try as hard as we can to develop that. And everybody can. It's a matter of becoming conscious of that. So, you know, sometimes law calls for mercy. And you know, I've mentioned this numerous times. Someone could be guilty of sin, and the grand jury or the trial jury can come together and say, hey, look, the guy's guilty of sin, but you know what? I understand, you know? Let's let him go, you know? It's the human factor, you know?
That's it. That's all. I just wanted to add that, but thanks. Good job.
All right. Kenny, you've been unmuted.
Yeah, John. This is for the people that have friends that don't get the concept of the United States. It's a good example because I reached... Sorry about the train here. Okay. The example was that around the perimeter of D.C., there are these stones. They're markers. On one side, it's marked whatever state it happens to be butted up against, and on the opposite side of it, it says United States.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
that'll kind of help crystallize it for them where the United States actually is. It's in the District of Columbia.
That's
I tried telling. Some people, and they're like, "It's the same thing. It's just that sloppy thinking that we just gotta. We're gonna be butting heads with until they finally snap out of it."
Right, Well, you know, again, once we take the system and back through the grand jury, we won't have to watch our language as carefully as we have to now, because a lot of these problems will disappear. And again, when we take 26 states back, the problem in Washington will disappear too. But but you know, we just have to be careful until then. That is key, especially if you're going to go into a courtroom. You better not say the wrong words, because they're going to find you with no standing.
Yeah, absolutely. That already happened to me in Chancery. But I didn't lose yet, but I was trying to make my point, and you know, that was I don't know, it was a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out later that in that Chancery thing, I think you if you're going to challenge their authority, you have to do it, I think, with them. The first, I don't know if it's the first 30 days or the first 3 months.
Well, you can challenge jurisdiction at any time. Challenging their authority, you know, again, if they don't have authority and 6 months later you discover they don't have authority, then they don't have authority. And you can challenge that at any time, too. Remember, there is no statute of limitations in common law. So, you know, something 20 years ago, you know, if you got it fresh in your mind and you got all the evidence down, you can pursue some. I mean, that would be a little crazy. You know, half the people might even be dead, but who knows. But the point is that there's no statute of limitations.
And there's no statute of limitations on fraud either.
That's right. Well, there's no in common law, there's no statute of limitation on anything. You can bring a case in at any time because that's a statute, and statutes have no play in common law with the exception of the application of statutes on bureaucrats, elected individuals, municipalities, and so on. That's what the statutes are for, to apply to them.
Gotcha.
So, but it's not for the created being, the, you know, the human being.
Right.
By the way, anybody else that wants to pipe in here, just put in *8 and your hand will go up and we'll unmute you. I'm thinking of shutting the recording off now. It's been almost 2 hours. I don't like to let it go too long. So let me end the recording here now and we'll continue our conversation, though. Hang on a minute.